He's Braden Gall. I'm Jason Fitz. Julian Council producing. This is Braden and Fitz on ESPN 102.5 The Game. And we've been catching you up all morning, obviously, on the big Preds win last night. Anytime you get a division win, that's a big deal. Obviously, we were just talking about Butch Jones and what that means. The mayor going to join us in about 45 minutes. Really excited. Anytime we get to have the mayor on, it always classes up the show, right? I mean, we need that. We need that little touch of extra awesome every Friday, Braden. I think that's it's important.
I don't know if she's willing to do it every Friday.
Just in general, we can always use it, particularly on Fridays. Yeah. So when you can have Megan Berry join you, that's a significant thing. So we will we'll get her thoughts on
Butch Jones.
Okay. We'll get her thoughts on some of the stuff going on around town, obviously, as stadium conversations continue to be a huge part of what's happening in Nashville. And we've got some innovative ideas we'll get to in a little bit on what they could do downtown to increase or to better the tailgating experience. So we'll give you some of those thoughts and get her thoughts. But as we get there, we have to keep in mind Monday Night Football is a spectacle, and Monday Night Football in Nashville is a special spectacle. But Rishard Matthews has come out and sort of said what he's willing to be a part of. And at some point, if you've been under a rock and you haven't heard any of this, Rishard Matthews obviously has elected, ever since President Trump made his comments about NFL players having a voice, Rishard Matthews has elected not to partake in any portion of the anthem ceremony. So that is, as someone whose father served and as his brother-in-law died in service, Rishard Matthews with a very special sort of perspective on it, but he is elected to not take part in the ceremony at all until Donald Trump apologizes for what he said about NFL players. And so that's where Rashard's coming from. And he's really dug in at this point, saying as many teams around the league are starting to say we may force our players to stand, Rashard has said he will quit playing in the NFL before he will do that. When you heard that, what was your reaction?
Man, I had a lot of emotion listening to him. Because first of all, I got a chance to talk to him last year when the Kaepernick stuff all started happening. He was on the show with us on a Monday night, and I had a chance to kind of off the air just chat with him. And he's a really smart, interesting young individual. What it made me think of originally, Fitzy, is it made me think of Muhammad Ali and what he went through. And what Muhammad Ali did was he basically put almost, and let's be very clear, when we think about history, it's important to know about history in this situation, in that Muhammad Ali was not popular in the moment. Martin Luther King's approval ratings were not off the charts when he was going it sort of ended up killing him, right? I mean, that's what happened. It's later on we realize how important those figures were and what they were doing and what they were sacrificing. And Muhammad Ali gave up opportunities to win championship title belts, right? Like, he gave up real life career accomplishments. He gave up for something that he believed in that wasn't necessarily all that popular at the time. And what Rishard Matthews, what I love about, or I guess what I respect about, you know, agree or disagree with what Rishard Matthews says or thinks or does, it's hard not to look at someone who's willing to put his career on the line for something he believes in. That makes me stop and think about it a little bit more. And from an emotional standpoint, I hope that's what people do. I don't know how, again, you can disagree with people not kneeling for the flag. I'm okay with people disagreeing with that. That's okay. We've said that a million times on the show. But I think what's important is you've got a guy whose father was a Marine for 23 years, whose brother died in this situation. He's donating $75,000 to the communities around the country to help oppressed communities what about any of that is un-American? What about any of that is bad? What about any of that is a wrong thing? And if someone's willing to put millions of dollars and their career on the line, I think it's important that we listen. And I just that was my emotional reaction to it when I first heard it.
I think there's a point where I respect the heck out of it. Anything that you believe in enough that you'll walk away from a ton of money and obviously from a dream career you've worked your whole life for, it also shows a little perspective on what matters to him. And I think that ultimately what's going to be interesting to me is fans are dug in on this. Like, we just talked about how fans are dug in on Butch. Fans are dug in on this issue too. But Monday Night Football is a huge opportunity for Nashville. And Rashard is an important piece of this team, especially Frankly, I mean, we spent last Sunday on the Sunday NFL football pregame show talking about how Derek Mason of 3D believes he's one of the most underrated wide receivers in the NFL at this point. So you're not talking about a guy that is anything other than a really great player. You know, you're talking about somebody, you're not talking about somebody on the decline or somebody that's had his best years behind him or somebody that's easy just to sort of boot on the butt and say, you know, we don't want to deal with this. Like, this is an important player for this franchise, an important piece for this team. And it's a bold statement and for any athlete to make, to come out and dig in, especially in today's climate and culture on it. I mean, he's essentially putting his many of his endorsement opportunities, many of his future opportunities, like he's putting a lot of that stuff out on the line and saying, I don't care. Like, you, if you're going to tell me that I can't have a voice, then I just won't play. That's a strong statement.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. I mean, like I said, you can. It's okay to say, you know what, I really don't want things attached to the anthem and things to the flag. Like, we've said that. I think that. I don't like things being attached to the anthem and to the flag. I'm against that. But if someone's willing to do this much and go this far for something that they believe in, I feel like it's the right thing to do is to just stop myself from yelling and just listen to what he has to say, because you're risking millions of dollars in a career. And again, let's be honest, Titans fans, this is not a position where you can afford to lose a player. Let's be very clear. From a strictly football conversation, Corey Davis isn't playing right now. We're not sure when he's coming back. You've got a nice tight end in Delanie Walker. Then what else you got? You got an old Eric Decker. Taywan Taylor looks like a really good player, but he's not ready yet to take over a full-time role. You need Rashard Matthews, folks. Yeah. Like you need him. And you went on your unfiltered rant last week about, yeah, you guys, you know, you don't want Colin Kaepernick because you're willing to lose games with Matt Cassel, and then you kind of said, yeah, right, that ends when you've lost six consecutive games or eight consecutive games. You're going to change your tune on that pretty quickly. What happens if Rashard Matthews steps away from the game because he can't take a knee during an anthem or can't sit in the locker room during the anthem? And I do think there will be a fix in the NFL about this issue. The NBA already has a policy where you have to stand. I think there will be a fix on this at some point.
That's funny, by the way. You just, like, you threw that in there, but for anybody that doesn't know, probably the most liberal league when it comes to stances on anything. You know, the league that's sort of like, hey, you do whatever you're going to do, just don't make the league look bad. The NBA of all leagues has a stance. I mean, to me, that was pretty surprising that the NBA had that stance and that the NFL did not. I mean, it's sort of another miss in the litany of misses.
Well, Roger, and they're working
come on our show, so I could just say, hey, Roger, yet another thing that well, great foresight, right. Dude. Way to be a heck of a commissioner.
Julian, could you email for Raj? See if we can get Raj on the show.
Yeah. Sure, given my history of saying such positive things about him, that will go over glowing.
And there's going to be a big meeting, right? You got general managers and owners and the Players Association and the commissioner. They're meeting and trying to figure out how to handle this and how to do this stuff moving forward. And because if it does start to affect their business, that's where they're going to have to make a change. But what I don't like about that is that then I don't think the players are going to back down off this either, and I don't think they should. As someone who, again, disagrees with the methodology but agrees with the concept of what they're saying, which I still think is the most important part here, I'm offended by someone kneeling during the anthem. I'm willing to put those feelings aside to listen to what someone has to say about racial inequality, because I think that's more important to me personally. That's just the way I feel about it. And I'm not telling anybody else what to think, but when you've got players willing to walk away from million-dollar jobs because they believe in something, and Rashard Matthews a couple of months ago basically said, when you have the power to say something and you don't say anything, that's as bad as anything. So he is very aware of all of this. He's very smart on all of this. I think he's doing it the right way. He's not doing it with all the, you know, the silly mistakes that Colin Kaepernick has made where it comes to not voting and wearing the Castro shirt and the police socks, like all that stuff that we kind of go, man, you're being a little, you're doing too much here, and your message is getting lost, and you're making some mistakes along the way. I think Rashard is a little bit more aware of all of that, and that's smart. But, you know, these protests are supposed to make people uncomfortable so that we listen to real things that people are saying. And I don't know how you can look at someone who's willing to donate money to communities and has a brother who died for our country and has a father who served to protect our country's freedoms. I don't know how you don't listen to that man, who's willing to put all of that aside for something he believes in. It's hard for me to not listen to what he has to say, at least, before I start yelling at him.
Well, we'll get a sense of what the feel is in the locker room, everything going on, not just about this, but about Monday night as a whole with one of our favorites, our Titan insider, Buck Rising, going to join us next. We'll get Buck's eyes and ears on all things Titans next up on Braden and Fitz, ESPN 102.5 The Game. The sweet, sweet sounds of Demi Lovato can only mean that our very own Buck Rising is with us, and I'm sorry, I'm not sorry. Buck, our Titans insider, I don't know what I like more, the segment with you or the music that brings you in, my friends. So thanks for joining us.
You've really got to stop calling me a Titans insider, Fitzy. People are going to expect some modicum of journalistic responsibility from me, and I'm not in the business of providing that for people.
No. See, here's the thing. I can't call you a reporter because you're certainly not professional enough for that. I've read your writing. You're not a journalist, so
whoa.
I'm not sure.
No. Being a journalist and writing have nothing to do with each other these days.
I am an excellent writer. A journalist,
yes,
I am not.
You are excellent at all things, by the way. Follow him at Buck Rising. So insider is the way I can just sort of bring it all together because you are inside the building, which in and of itself makes you more of an insider than most of the people that use that title on Twitter.
That's right.
All right, so let's start. Obviously, Rashard Matthews came out, made some strong statements. We'll get into some football, but were you surprised when you heard what Rashard said? And is there any sense of what the locker room feels about it?
Not particularly in terms of being surprised about what Rashard said. He's been very vocal about what his stance is regarding what he expects from the president in terms of an apology that he would like in order to start participating in the national anthem. In terms of the locker room, I mean, when you get anywhere close to that topic nowadays in that locker room, people not necessarily immediately tense up, but you can tell they want nothing to do with this in terms of the kind of attention that it brings. And so, I mean, from the locker room perspective, I would say that they are behind Rashard Matthews 100% in anything that he does, but I don't think that they particularly care to talk about it.
Well, and it'll be interesting. Like, it's such a strong position of need for this team right now. I mean, that's the thing. I mean, I don't think he's walking away midseason or whatever, but maybe he reevaluates what he wants to do with his life at the end of the year. But if he were to walk away, I don't know what this team does at wide receiver. I mean, Corey Davis is a big question mark. Marcus is not even on the field necessarily yet. I think he's going to try to play on Monday night. But this is the two positions that were major question marks last season, defensive back and wide receiver. I mean, that's one of the most important positions that there is for this team.
Well, and when you look at this stat that ESPN, the people at ESPN Stats and Info were so courteous as to provide for us, the Titans have just 4 receiving touchdowns this season, and only one of them has been caught by a wide receiver. The other two have been tight ends, Jonnu Smith and Philip Supernaw, because of course we all had that one. So, I mean, you talk about how desperate this team is for a playmaking wide receiver. For whatever you think of the anthem issues and the NFL protests and Rashard Matthews for the stance that he's taking, your team desperately needs a wide receiver. So I don't think you can afford to care about what his political views are right now.
Well, and let's be very clear about something. Take all of the names out of the and what we know in the world today. Just sort of put it like a behind a curtain. This statement, NFL wide receiver demands apology from president, never works out. Like, I can't ever see a – it doesn't matter who the president is and who the wide receiver is. I can't ever see a situation where a president of the United States is coming out and saying, you know what, I think I hurt your feelings, man, and I'm sorry about that. Like, that's just not going to happen.
I think there's a lot of presidents in the history of this country that would have been fine saying, yeah, my bad on something. I'm not sure we have one right now, Fitz.
To an NFL wide receiver,
not
I
specifically
disagree with that.
No, specifically to Rashard Matthews, but that's not what Rashard Matthews is asking for.
He's asking for an apology to the players of the NFL, right. And I can't imagine a scenario where, frankly, I can't think of a president off the top of my head that would go back and apologize to a labor union of any sort and say, hey, sorry about that. Probably should have handled it better.
Maybe not, but we do have the only president who is likely to respond to him on Twitter. So I think
that's true.
I think that the odds are markedly higher in that regard.
So talk to me a little bit about what this team seems to think is coming around the corner on Monday night in this Colts team.
I mean, nobody wants to talk about the streak, right? Of course, 11 losses for the Titans against the Colts consecutively. Jarrell Casey wouldn't even bother to take questions on the streak yesterday. They've about had enough of it. In terms of how they're feeling about it, everybody's confident. Everybody's excited to play on Monday Night Football. We were talking to Taywan Taylor in the locker room on Wednesday, and Taywan offered up that he used to skip school occasionally on Tuesdays because he would stay up late to watch Monday Night Football. and he knew his mom's work schedule to a T, so he would manage to sneak out of the house, then sneak back into the house so his mom would not know that he was skipping school. So everybody's excited. Everybody's confident. Obviously, you know for a fact that you're getting the backup in Jacoby Brissett, so I feel like that should bode well for the Titans in terms of how they feel about it. But at this point, they really can't afford to overlook any of these teams, especially ones that seem to be struggling in the division.
I feel like a broken record on this, Buck, but running the football seems to be a solution to some of these problems, and it's the same thing we said against Jacksonville. It's the same thing we said against Seattle. It's the same thing we said against Houston. It's the same thing we said last week. But as I was talking to Steve Lehman and some other guys yesterday, this is by far the easiest front seven they will have faced this season probably to date. Is that actually allow for them to, not just in the second half, but in the first half, actually find movement? And you can obviously comment on Taylor Lewan's situation as well. Can they actually run the football this week in the first half?
Yeah, Taylor Lewan was back at practice yesterday, obviously in a limited capacity. He had the undisclosed knee injury he had at the MRI on Monday, and they're confident about his status moving into Monday Night Football, but obviously that's still up in the air. When you look at the Titans, what they're averaging on the ground, they're averaging 4.76 yards per rush this season. That's second behind only the Chiefs. So for as much stink as we're making about the state of the run game, they're not running the ball ineffectively. It seems to be that they're sticking with the run almost too much, to the point where they're not being effective, and then they have to rely on the passing game earlier because they get behind or they feel the need, or they end up in second and long situations where they need to throw the ball. So in terms of how they're running the ball, I would say that it's been anything but ineffective. Maybe it's not, you know, 4 carries for 9 yards like Derrick Henry had last week.
18 carries for DeMarco Murray and Derrick Henry is unacceptable.
Combined,
yeah, I think it's combined in a football game is unacceptable.
Right.
I think it's more, for me sometimes, it's more how is it being used situationally than it is necessarily the stat result. Because to Braden's point, the second half, the stats feel, it feels like that's bloating the game a little bit. But they're finding themselves, when they lose, I feel like we're sitting here saying, why didn't they run the ball more? Now,
right.
To your point, Buck, it's difficult to do that when you're suddenly down by a big margin. But that's not always been the case here. It feels like they've had opportunity to handle when to run the ball better.
And you said situationally. That seems to be an issue when I watch the Titans. It's almost like they're not managing situational football correctly. You guys know what I mean? I mean, obviously I have a hard time questioning any kind of play calling or any kind of coaching decisions because I'm not in those meeting rooms. Mike Mularkey and Terry Robiskie and Dick LeBeau have a far greater understanding of football than I will ever possibly have. But from what it appears to me, especially in the way that they're using the running backs, splitting the carries between DeMarco Murray and Derrick Henry, Terry Robiskie talked about, yesterday at practice, he said, I don't know how many times or how we're going to find the carries for Derrick Henry, but we're going to get the boy the ball. Paraphrasing there. But so it just seems to me that there's a situational football problem when it comes to the Titans, and you can't help but point anywhere but the coaching staff when you look at that.
I'll give you situational because obviously third downs, they were in third and longs last week against Miami. They weren't in a lot of third and ones and twos and threes and fours. They had to throw the ball.
2 of 13 on third down last week.
But you want to know what the bigger stat is that leads to that, and you're talking situational? DeMarco Murray had 1 first down carry in the first half last week.
Right.
That's just not how that's completely unacceptable. There's not a thing you could tell me unless there's 11 guys in the box on first down. And in which case, you should be able to make a throw even if you're Matt Cassel. That, to me, is situational football, that they're not managing correctly.
And it's not – I'm sorry, go ahead, Fitz.
Go ahead. No, go ahead, Buck.
Well, I was just going to say, when you look at what Cassel is doing compared to what Marcus Mariota – and obviously we're assuming that Matt Cassel is going to be the starter on Monday.
Really?
Well, I would, in terms of how they're evaluating Mariota and what Mike Mularkey has said that he needs to see from Marcus, Mularkey wants to see that Mariota can – maintain his mobility on the football field. They still haven't seen him run a full sprint yet. So as of right now, obviously there's still a few more days before they have to make that final call. Move at this juncture today, I'm assuming that Matt Cassel is going to be the starter based off what we have to work with. When you look at what Cassel is averaging on yards per attempt when he's throwing the ball, 3.85 yards per attempt. When Mariota is on the field, It's 7.2.
That's
yards
bad for
per
a
attempt.
Rushing attempt, Buck.
Yeah, I know.
God.
I mean, this is a.
You know who's worse than that? Jarrett Garantano, 2.3 yards per attempt. That's how bad Matt Cassel is. He's Jarrett Garantano level of bad.
Listen, the Tennessee Vols are an entirely different level of mediocrity that I don't have the time or the patience to get into.
And they got a winning record.
You guys can follow him on Twitter at Buck Rising. As always, it is fantastic stuff from Buck. We get his thoughts every Friday, and we will continue that. Buck, thanks for your time, man. We appreciate it.
Always a pleasure, boys.
When we come back, Braden and I have the idea that could make Nashville the best tailgate spot in the country. We'll run it by you next. Braden and Fitz, ESPN 102.5, The Game. Titans fans, don't miss NFL Football Monday. 5 to 7 p.m. live from Barlines inside the Nashville Omni Hotel. Check out the NFL Football pregame show, usually on Sundays. But we're coming at you Monday for the Monday night edition. Little old me, Hall of Fame nominee, former Titans receiver Derek Mason, former Titans GM Floyd Reese. All three of us hanging out. The watch party for the big Monday night game against Colts right there at Barlines inside the Omni Nashville Hotel. Nashville's best place to watch the games on their 15 by 15 foot big screen. Plus, great food and drink specials. So, going to be really exciting. And we'll get to this Monday night football tailgating idea in 1 second. But, Braden, I do have to let you know, I'm trying to link us into media beef with some guy in Pittsburgh. Just
oh no, I did that too. Okay. I read the story. He's like, yeah, some guy in media. And again, we need to rise above this, Fitzy, because that's part of the problem. Is just, hey, that's one city ripping on another city. We don't need to join and stoop to their
level.
No.
I'm not going
to
rip on Pittsburgh.
Right. But some Pittsburgh guy basically wrote an article about, hey, why do you celebrate second place? Good on you. Basically, like, what are these idiots doing in Nashville celebrating second place? And I was like, don't college basketball teams celebrate third and fourth place every year by hanging Final Four banners in their arenas? And I'm fairly positive I checked, and you checked as well. Thank goodness we're on the same page on this. There is a 2007-2008 Eastern Conference championship banner hanging in Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
They didn't win the cup that year. They finished second place. So
I definitely attached a picture of their banners that include a division title too in there. So
why are they upset about this? They're just jealous of all. Man. They're just jealous of all the coverage we got. It's okay.
They live in Pittsburgh. Okay. That's why they're upset about
see,
it.
See, don't stoop. See, now you're stooping.
No, that's
don't
that's
stoop.
Fair.
Don't stoop to
fair.
Their level.
That's fair. I've spent a lot of time in Pittsburgh in my life. That's all I'm going to say about that.
No stooping.
Also, I've spent a lot of time stooping as me cracking up at this point. Very Blazing Saddles of you. I've spent a lot of time in my life down on Lower Broad, too. And you and I were sitting here saying, okay, we have the mayor on today in just a few minutes, actually. And Gene, by the way, on Twitter asked if I was going to try and get the mayor to say free stuff.
Ooh.
I don't know that a politician's allowed to ever say free stuff. I don't think that's but I think that might be a little bit. We might
free
need
stuff
to build
from the taxpayers.
We might need to build a little rapport with the mayor before we get her to.
I think we could get her to say free stuff today.
Okay. Well, we were sitting down before the show and we were like, okay, we got the mayor on. What moment can we come in and sound super smart about a great sports idea for the city? And I think we have it. I think you just shut down Broadway and Second Avenue completely. And you make it all open container, and you let people get down there and just get crazy and get all turnt and crunk and lit all at once on Lower Broad with the Uber station right outside of that.
Yeah, and I think it's a great idea. I was talking to some bar owners last night, actually, as I was down there, but it was, you know, they're not all on board with that. So that's going to be an interesting dilemma for Lower Broadway is how do we benefit the, you know, the honky tonks and the music is what draws people down there. If you then are selling cups all over the streets, you're taking revenue away from them. So there is an element of how do we kind of make everybody happy to make it sort of an economic positive for everybody. But from just a fan tailgate perspective, Broadway is just simply better without all the cars. It's safer. It's not nearly as dangerous. You got more space to move around. It's not nearly as crowded. There's room for kind of spillage right out of all these bars because all these places get crowded and packed. And then on Fridays and Saturday nights, as Julian will tell you, there's just long lines everywhere. And like when I used to go down there, I had to experience that as well. And the sidewalks are crowded. So, I mean, I agree. Like, do I want it to be Bourbon Street? No, I definitely do not. Bourbon Street has it's like too much for me. So if there's a way to make it sort of, and I don't know if you can have like red solo cups and class at the same time. But I'd like
you cannot after but you know what I mean, like, years on a tour bus and country music, I can answer that definitively.
But
no.
Do you want it to be like I love New Orleans, and once you go to Bourbon Street once, you're kind of like, yeah, I'd like to see all the other parts of New Orleans. And so we go to New Orleans and we go to all the other parts of New Orleans. I don't know you know, if you're a tourist and you're coming to Broadway, then yeah, it sounds awesome, right? But do we want it to turn into Bourbon Street? And is there a way to have it not be Bourbon Street, but still closed off and be pedestrian? I don't know. I think State Street in Madison, Wisconsin, my hometown, has done it has done a really, really good job of making a pedestrian street and a thoroughfare of bars and restaurants and shops still have some element of class to it. So I don't know how to do that. And the mayor may have an idea on that.
Well, and you could, I mean, you could keep the streets open until a certain time and then close them down. But even in the afternoons now, it's such a madhouse down there. The other suggestion would be, I'll go to my Vegas roots a little bit. The other suggestion to me would be to build some sort of overpass walk system that forces nobody to ever be on the street. Like, that's one of the the random things people may not realize about the Las Vegas Strip is that the pedestrians on the Vegas Strip never have the right of way, and that's because they
built
Well, they built the the walkways for that specific person purpose. So they
There's a ton of walkways across, right? Like, there's just all kinds of bridges everywhere across the Strip.
You never
right?
cross the street. There aren't crosswalks. And like, next time you're in Vegas, look at the streets on the Strip. There are no crosswalks because you can no longer cross the street. If you cross the street and it causes a wreck, you're actually responsible for it. You're liable for it in Las
Vegas.
Sounds
awful.
And they did that because so many people were just, well, the Excalibur is right over there, so I'm going to cross the street. And it was causing so much harm and accidents, and people were getting hit, so they built all the walkways. Now,
is the Bellagio the one with the big fountains, right, in the
yes,
front? Only time, now that I think about it, because I've only been one time, the only place we could cross, and it took us like 15 minutes because you have to wait for your right of way, right, to be safe. That was the only place we could actually walk across the actual Strip was at the Bellagio. And otherwise, we were crossing on bridges everywhere. I don't know if, like, you could do maybe two-story bridges across from Honky Tonk to Honky Tonk. I just don't know if that. Broadway seems kind of small. Yeah, it seems
right.
too small.
The
for
streets
that.
Aren't wide enough. Like, and there are a couple, like, I think there are three spots on the Strip where you can get across without the bridges. The other side of it is really expensive. I mean, that is not an easy proposition. And you're right. Broadway feels so small, that seems exaggerated. So I think it's easier just to shut the whole thing down.
I agree.
And then make it you'd be making it a party for even for every Preds game. I mean, go down and you grab a drink. And what I do like about New Orleans is that so many of the bars have the outdoor serving stations. So you don't even have to walk into the bar. You can just walk up to the bar and get the drink and keep walking. I mean, they could do that.
That's absolutely going to be part of the plan if they were to shut it down. Now, I think what has to happen is they have to, like, rezone the street from, like, a state street to, like, a city thing. Like, there's all kinds of, like, technical, you know, political mumbo-jumbo and all that stuff. What I like about the one positive I'll tell you, and if you've never been to Bourbon Street or State Street in Madison, Wisconsin, they're not large thoroughfares. They're sort of smaller, more, you know, like two-lane roads, right? Like, they're not these big, wide, and Broadway's bigger. Broadway's a much wider street than even Bourbon Street or State Street in Madison, and those are both shut down permanently for pedestrians. And it works out pretty well because they're more quaint, I think. I think for State Street in particular, Madison. But I don't know, like, from 5th maybe down to 1st. Like, I don't know what you would do, where you would close it. What do you do with traffic going across?
Actually, no, I would go 6th.
Side of Bridgestone?
Yeah, the other side of Bridgestone. Yeah. That way from 6th to 1st. And then force it, you know, force walking traffic there, essentially.
Yeah, it'll be very interesting. And certainly, you know, the question is, of course, how do they generate revenue? And then how do they make it legal and safe? And then, of course, what are the options from a business standpoint to help generate revenue for the bars as well? Because they might lose revenue in this situation if that were the case. Dean in Clarksville wants to chime in. Dean, what's up, man?
Hey, so I actually used to live in Hinesville, Georgia. I was stationed at Fort Stewart. And when I was there, they in Savannah, they actually have an open container law there. And it makes so much sense because you can walk around from bar to bar. They aren't selling cups on the streets or anything like that. So it's not taking away the revenue from the bar industry there. Or the nightlife. I mean, it just seems like it would make things a lot more vibrant down there. I mean, I know it's already awesome and always going on down there, but it just seems like it would make just everything better for the community down there because you'd just be able to grow profit through having safe ways to consume alcohol and have open container and things like that. And then you don't have to worry about guys chugging beers before they leave a bar and whatnot.
Dean, and thanks for the call. What would be really cool, think about this, Fitzy, as I'm listening to this, what if down the middle you've got like cool, you've got like a median, right, with like trees and like areas to sit. So you've got like this whole, like really like almost like an outdoor patio, right, like all the way down the middle of Broadway from Bridgestone Arena to First Avenue. You've got this whole cool outdoor place where you've got like picnic tables or, you know, whatever, just places
to
go places sit.
To sit, I think places where people pass out drunk at 3 in the morning.
No question. And think about it. How often, because I used to live a block off of Broadway. I lived down there, you know, basically right next to the Schimmerhorn for 6 years. And we spent a lot of time out on Broadway, obviously. I was younger and single. But it's you walk how many times at night after 1 in the morning, if you've ever been out on Broadway, are people just streaming across the street everywhere anyway? They're not using crosswalks. They're just – Because the traffic is at its standstill, so people are just walking all over the place, all willy-nilly, and it's all dangerous, and people are been drinking, and people are driving cars, and those just are generally things you don't want to mix. So this is a major problem in our country right now, and we need to solve it, and that's why we've got the mayor coming up next segment to solve really serious issues.
We can go from talking about our perfect brain idea. We'll get the thoughts from somebody that can actually tell us why we're idiots, but mostly tell us what the plan is and the vision is for several different sports initiatives going on right now. Really always proud when we get to have her on. Mayor Megan Barry going to join us. We'll do that next on Braden and Fitz, ESPN 102.5 The Game.
And the bass keeps running.
You're listening to Braden and Fitz, presented by Wholesale, brought to you by the Game National Studios, presented by Wholesale Inc. Mount Juliet. Mere moments away, he's Braden Gall, I'm Jason Fitz, and mere moments away from the show getting a heck of a lot smarter as Mayor Megan Barry is going to join us in just a couple of minutes. Always excited for that, and excited that we can have, I think it's pretty cool, take a second to just appreciate the fact that we always call ourselves yo-yos, because thanks to the Preds.
Brent Peterson. Yes.
But two yo-yos talking about sports can actually have an open dialogue about important initiatives for the city with the mayor is an incredible opportunity for us, and I think it's great for you guys to have that opportunity to hear the mayor's thoughts on pressing issues, because sometimes it's great. I feel like sometimes we only talk about sports when everybody's worried about money of sports, and it's interesting to get the mayor's thoughts on some of these things when she's not under the same spectrum of people having wants and needs to the same level.
Yeah, it's interesting, and how much, you know, you look at other cities that are vying for the MLS, or you look at other cities that are building NFL stadiums, or you look at other cities that deal with this kind of stuff, and it's just incredibly complex. Like, how does, you know, all the Cincinnati stadium deals are awful. Well, the Vegas deal is one way, and then the, you know, Stan Kroenke just decided, I'm just going to write a check for a building, right? Like, there's so many different ways that it happens. It almost all comes down to money, but it's very interesting to see as we as a city are looking 7, 8, 10 years down the road at what are we going to do with Nissan Stadium? What are we going to do with Bridgestone Arena? What do we do with Broadway? How does the transit system all fit into all of that? How do we get people in and out of downtown? Because everybody hates traffic, right? Like, that's something we can all – hopefully that's an issue we all are unified on when it comes to traffic. And listen, I know paying for stuff is obviously the most important – is always going to be an incredibly difficult question to ask about any of this stuff. But if we get people off the roads, that's the only way to help traffic. So that's what the mayor's office and the city are trying to do. And how do you pay for it? And soccer stadium, how do you pay for it? Is it the right move for that area of the city? All these things, it all helps to develop and grow the city, but it almost all comes back to paying for it. And that's where you and I, like, we just don't have any like reason to try to be experts on that. We can just say, hey, listen, we want a soccer stadium, and we want the Nissan Stadium to be better, and we want a light rail system. You guys figure out how to pay for it. That's why you have the tough jobs.
Yeah, we should update everybody. The Metro Sports Authority on Thursday voted unanimously. They approved a $225 million bond resolution for a new MLS stadium at the city's fairgrounds. So that's one more step in this process. Still has to go to Metro Council next month. But they signed off on a deal to issue up to $225 million in revenue bonds. So that's the first next step, you know. So at this point, there's still a few steps left to go. We all know that. And, you know, heck, a team has to decide to come here. But we got one step closer, albeit a small step. We got one step closer. So it's important that we keep you updated on that. And I think you made a great point. Guys smarter than us try and figure this stuff out, because it's really easy for me to walk into a gym and say, I want six-pack abs. And then all of a sudden they're like, okay, well, you can't eat cupcakes, you can't have any more alcohol, and you need to work out 3 hours a day. And then suddenly I'm like, you know what, I'm good. And yeah,
my little mini kegerator sounds just fine at that point.
There's that sort of same thing when it comes to, but we want a rail system. We want a transit system. We want all of these things that we want. But then the mayor's office and politicians in general have to come in and say, great, well, it's going to cost this and you're going to have to sacrifice that. And those are the really difficult discussions for everybody to have at some point. Because we can't just fix a football stadium. The money has to come from somewhere, and you can't just create a new experience at Bridgestone should they choose to do something to the outside of it. The money has to come from somewhere, and there has to be a benefit to people.
And as of right now, I guess the Tennessean acquired a telephone poll that the city was doing, I guess, last week about, you know, all the different taxes: sales tax, hotel tax, business tax, car registration tax. Just, and this is just for the funding of the transit. I think they figured out a pretty unique way to handle the stadium for the soccer thing. If all things play itself out, it'll be a 90% privately funded venture, which is a really good thing for the city. The city gets to own a soccer stadium should the MLS decide to come here. The city gets to own the soccer stadium, but somebody else gets to pay for it, and that's a great way to do it. The hotel tax is something that made a whole lot of sense for me when we were talking about Vegas. If people are going to pour into that city no matter what, have the people that are coming there and spending all their money spend an extra dollar on a hotel room and use that money to build a stadium. I think a hotel tax is a great idea, especially since we're building so many stinking hotels right now. And that should obviously reduce the cost of the hotels, and therefore people might be willing to pay more. They're still coming to Nashville as tourists. So How do we leverage that into building the city? And people don't – listen, I'm a taxpaying member of Davidson County. Am I willing to spend a little extra dollar here or dollar there for a soccer stadium? I always told you that my answer was yes for that, because I will get enjoyment out of that. I will benefit from that, and the city benefits from that. If all of a sudden Amazon's headquarters want to move to Nashville because we have a light rail system, do you guys imagine what the city would look like? I mean, the city would explode if we had Amazon's another headquarter here. And some people may not like that. Some people go, oh, that's a little too big for us. We want to be smaller. And I just want to figure out a way to my biggest priority from a sports fan standpoint is Nissan Stadium. That's number one. I'm not worried about Bridgestone. I trust the people over there are going to do a great job at kind of continuing to evolve and grow and morph into what that building will look like. Nissan Stadium, to me, is what needs to be almost, like, redone. And I don't mean, like, renovated. I mean, put it on redone. The river. Put it on – and you've heard me do this spiel over and over again. Put it on the river. Make it brick. Make it look like First Avenue, the backside of First Avenue that runs along the river. Put walking bridges across. I know you already have the one walking bridge, but make it directly into the stadium. And put honky-tonks all up and down, two or three stories, just like Broadway looks. Build it into the fabric of downtown a little bit more. And I think you could have and then put a dome, put a roof on it, or retractable, so then you can have Final Fours, you could host a Super Bowl, and you could do things like college football playoff games. And I think that takes us to another notch and another level as a city if we do that. And again, I'll let smarter people than me decide how to pay for that. Not our decision. We're just idea men, Fitzy.
You know how sometimes you have, like, your group of friends together and you say, hey, what's everybody want to eat? And, like, you got the guy in the back of the room, he's like, ooh, Chinese food. And everybody just kind of ignores it. And then every time you keep re-asking the question, the guy's like, what about Chinese food? That's where I am with the transit system. Every time there's a conversation about could money go to something, I'm the guy that's in the back that's like, we could really use a transit system. Going to take, you know, whatever, 652 years and $87 billion. I don't know any of the exacts. But the,
it's
every
25
time, that's,
years, I think.
That's the whole, you know, principle of got to start somewhere, and that's the big. That's always been the big holdup for me when I think about things like new stadiums and new arenas and changes made. The first thing, and that I'll show my bias. I think living in Hendersonville, there's a moment for me where I come in, I'm like, but what could we do for a transit? Sure, would like to be able to hop a train. So you know, that's always going to be in the back of my mind. But that's again why it's difficult, because we'll come in and say, hey, I want a little of this, I want a little of that, but the money's got to come from somewhere. And sometimes it even means paying for things that you may not get to utilize in your lifetime or effectively when you want to utilize it. That's a difficult – that's why I can't imagine what it's like. That's why we're not mayor, brother.
And we are all inherently selfish creatures. We almost all operate in the interest of self-preservation. And there's a lot of people that can't afford a $5 or $10 tax fee on something for something that they don't use. You know what I mean? And I think everybody understands that. But the question is, how do we as a city decide to grow and to become the next thing? Because people are going to move here, folks. I hate to break. We've got a massive healthcare industry. We've got a huge tourism industry. People are going to keep moving here. We've got to figure out how to handle that. And from a sports fan standpoint, there's another level we can go to. We're like the top of the second tier of sports cities, right? Like, we're not a top tier sports city, but we could be if we chose to do certain things. And hopefully that those are things that are reasonable, feasible, that we can figure out ways to pay for, and hopefully we'll make tourists pay for it. That's really what I like to do. Just make tourists pay for everything.
I'm all about that. Like a $472 hotel room tax. So that that's
your
reasonable.
Hotel room is going to be $8.
Right.
But you've got a $480 fee so that
but
we can build
you're
a Super Bowl
to take
stadium.
The train from the airport, so it's a win.
See, there you go.
We'll continue to effort the mayor, obviously. She's the mayor. So things come up. We'll get the mayor as soon as we can. We'll get those lines cross back together. When we come back, a question that I've asked earlier, we'll get Braden's thoughts on anything that Butch can do at this point on Saturday that results in him being the coach or not being the coach on Monday. We'll look at that next. Braden and Fitz, ESPN 102.5 The Game.